We begin the current daf in Masechtas Eivin daf Samach. We begin 7 lines up from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, speaking about the properties of a sulam. That is, if there is a wall that's separating two different areas, which would be considered a mechitza, a separation. However, there's a sulam, a ladder, that allows a person to go ahead and climb over the wall in a very convenient way. And that we had on the previous daf a question, do we view the ladder as a mechitza, because ultimately there's still a wall there, although there's an easy way to scale it because it's a ladder, but there's still a wall. Or do we view it as a pesach, as an opening, because although there's a wall there, but and virtually there's no wall because the ladder lets you go in and out of it as if it was open. That was the discussion in the previous daf. Sagamar continues on that theme and has a very similar discussion that the previous daf, which was on the top of this amud, had ended off with a similar discussion coming on in today's daf also. So the Gemara begins. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel. Regarding a wall that was lined with ladders, that is one after another, you had ladders lining the whole wall. So Shmuel said, even if the ladders took up a space on the length of the wall, even more than 10 amas, still the wall will still have a status of a mechitza, including the ladders that are there, and we don't say that the ladder nullifies the status of the wall that it is, as if it's breached over there, and even more than 10 amos, which would make it into a breach, not a pesach, because any pesach that's more than 10 amos, we view it as breached. We don't say that since the ladders are there, we view it as if that's open, because you can get on there, because if it were to be, we say later on, that then in that type of case, you could only make one eiv with both areas. Let's say you have two chatzeres that have this wall separating it, but it's breached more than 10 amos, you're not allowed to make two separate eirivim, because we could view them as breached one to the other, and they would have to make only one if they want to make it that they could carry in the chatzeres. Rather, in this case, Shmuel says, if they want to, they can make even one Erev as a leniency that we would view it as a Pesach. But if they want, they are allowed to make it two separate Erevin because, as we had mentioned in the previous daf, that we don't say L'chumra regarding the status of a Sulam that it should be considered a Pesach to be Mevatel Mechitza because, as we had said in the Mishnah, that all components of Erevin are L'hokal only as a leniency and therefore, although we are allowed to view the sulam as a pesach, as if it's open one chatzar to the other, but if it would be a stringency, then we don't say that, and therefore we will say it will retain its status as a mechitza, and therefore we can make two separate erivin for each chatzar separately. On that, the Gemara asked, Rami Le Rabrun Rabbi Yehuda, b'matzar to the Rav Chanina. He asked in the wine press of the house of Rav Chanina, he says, Miyam Shmuel Teres Mechitza Olav, did Shmuel really say this halacha, that the latter will not be mevatel, the status of the mechitza, as a stringency, and to say that, no, it will be a Pesach, he says, it's not true. It will retain its status of a mechitza. Did he really say that? But Vamrav Nachman Amar Shmuel, which this statement was the one that we have a similar discussion, as we're going to say right now, at the top of this Amud, which was a continuation of the previous daf, the Gemara has a similar discussion right now, and saying, but Shmuel had a different statement that seems to indicate otherwise. The statement went as follows. Anshimar Pesach, regarding the people of the second story, where there they have a porch, which is called a marpeset, that opens up into the chatzar. They were from the ground level, they would have ladders going up to the second floor on the porch. And there was where the people are called the anshe marpeset. And you have them, the anshe chatzar, or the people of the courtyard, sheshachu b'leirvo, that if either one of them forgot, not only the first floor people, which they open up into the courtyard, but even the second story people, which they open up into the marpeset, if they forgot and they did not join together with everybody else, so then, im yesh lefaneha, if there is in front of the ladder of the second story people, daka arba, that it has a small little opening, which is like a door frame that's only very small, it's only 4 tfachim high, then eno yiseres, then that does not make it forbidden, as we explained in the previous stop, because that's like a sign, it shows that they're separate, we don't want to be part of the rest of it, so therefore the fact that I didn't join in the air will not make it usa, because I don't have the right of way, I'm showing that I'm only staying on the second story for the whole Shabbos. But if not, if you did not make this daka, this small little doorway in front of the stairs going upstairs, then oisereth, then it will make it forbidden. So obviously you see that although this marpeset, this second story porch, was 10 tfachim above the ground, yet in spite of that we say that this ladder will come and be mevatel that. And that is, we see that it's not like a mechitza, rather like a pesach, because the marpeset is really a separate area than the chatzar, because it's higher than 10 tfachim, and therefore we view it as mechitza, as if it's closed off from the rest. So therefore it shouldn't be a problem. So why do we say if there's no daka that it's a problem? Obviously because since there's a ladder that does connect the marpeset to the chatzar. And what is the ladder viewed as? Obviously, like a pesach, like an opening, not as a wall, not as keeping the marpeset closed off from the rest. We view that as an opening, and therefore you see that Shmuel holds that the sulam will be a chumrah, because we see that in this case, the fact that we consider sulam like a pesach makes the whole chatzar asur for everyone to carry in, because since those on top did not join in, we're going to view the sulam as a pesach l'chumrah, not like we just said in the name of Shmuel. And this the Gemara has the same discussion that had on the top of the summit, the Chachma Eskinon, the Loi Gevoya Marpeset Asar. We're talking about that the porch, the second story, is not 10 Tvachim above the ground. And therefore, without the ladder, it still would be bottled from Halacha of Mechitza. It would be considered open to the whole entire Chatzah by virtue that it's not separate. It's not in a separate area. It's within 10 Tvachim above the ground. Nothing to do with the ladder. By virtue of the whole Marpeset, it's wide open to the Chatzah. It's not separated by anything. If it would be above 10 Tvachim, we'd view it in a separate Rishus. But here it's within 10 Tvachim, we view it as part of the Chatzah. So therefore, even without the ladder, even if the ladder was a mechitza, it would still be a problem, because although the area of the ladder is a mechitza, but the whole rest of the porch is open to the chatzah. Tursi Gemara asks, if that's the case, be loygivoy marpeset asara. So if the porch, if the second story is not more than 10 tefachim above the ground, so kiyava daka mahava, what does it help to make this daka, this small little doorway in front of the ladder, to say that, okay, we're closed off, we're a separate area, but how does that help? The rest of that second story porch is open to the chatzar. So even if you close off one thing and say, we don't want this ladder to be working as if it's opening to the chatzar, and therefore we're closed off, what does that help? It's like a chatzar that's parts to another chatzar, because it's totally open on the rest of this porch, which is not closed off, where the ladder is not, and therefore what is it going to help? It's parts to another chatzar. Of course it's going to make it usur. So why is making a daka help? That the Gemara answers, b'megufefes, that it is closed off. That is, although it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, but they made this type of a fence on this porch. So therefore it's closed off. It has these walls that are closing off the porch. Ad eser amas. Until an area of 10 amas, as we explained on the previous discussion, and that is the kivin of a daka. Therefore, since if you made a daka, istaluki istalak mahacha. That's showing that opening of the 10 amas, where the ladder is going into, is showing, but we don't want that to be considered as a Pesach, because we don't want to be there. That's why we're making the daka, to show that we're keeping to ourselves for the rest of the Shabbos. However, if not, if the daka is not there, what's the logical conclusion? Then there would be a Pesach. But again, not because of the ladder. The ladder is not what's making it a Pesach. It's a Pesach because that opening of 10 amas is within 10 fachim of the ground. So therefore, we view it as part of that. But again, it would work if you make a daka, because that's saying that we don't want to be part of it, and it's not considered parts because the rest of it is closed over with this mugufefes. But the fact, again, that it's opening is not because of the sulam. The sulam could actually be considered on its own virtue. It would maintain the dignity and the halacha of the mechitza to be a wall. But here, it's because it's breached by that area of 10 amas, and therefore, the ladder is not what's making it pesuach. It's pesuach by virtue of not being closed by the mugufefes, by the closed area of the fence, by that area of 10 amas. Now the Gemara continues on this to illustrate with a story. Hanu b'nei kukunoy. The aslu kamei Rav Yosef, these people from Kukunoy, they came in front of Rav Yosef. Amrulei, they said to him, Havlon gaver del arvlon masin. Do us a favor. We need someone at Tamachachem to come and rectify, make an air for our city. And this was a Irshal Rabim. It was a public city that became an Irshal Yachid, which, as we explained in our Mishnah, that requires shir. What shir means to say is that anything that was at one point a public city that had a public domain with 600,000 people over there, although even ultimately becomes an Irshal Yachid that doesn't have it, lost population, and therefore it's not like a public city, which you're generally allowed to make an heir throughout the whole entire city. Here, since it might ultimately go back to what it was, Irshal Yachid, people get confused. You're only allowed to make an heir in the entire city if you leave off. We had a machlekes in the Mishnah, how much that has to be, but you have to leave off part of the town that will not be included in the heir. So this was the type of city that they came in front of Yosef saying, please send us someone to make an heir. So Amalei Labaye said to Abaye, Zil Arvlehu, go ahead and make an heir for them, but v'chazi d'lo mitzavcha lebe b'medrash. I want you to do me a favor that they should not be screaming about you in the base medrash that you did something that was not good for them. So go ahead and make it, but be careful. So Az Labaye went, chazu lahanu batei de psichel nahara. He went and he saw these houses that open up into the river, and that is, their opening was in the back of the city. which opened up into the river. They didn't have any opening. Their doors did not open up. They were like on the water where their houses open up to. But they had no openings opening into the city. And therefore, Amar, he said, let those houses be the ones that are left out of the city from the Erev, because anyways, they're not losing, because they don't even have openings into the city. They only open to where the river is, and therefore, let them be the ones that are left out, because anyways, they're not going to carry over there. They don't utilize that area, because they don't have any entryways that way anyway. Hadam, and then he was thinking to himself about it. Wait, Ein ma'arvin es kula tnan. In our Mishnah, we learned, regarding this Irshal Rabbim that became an Irshal Yachad, it says you're not allowed to make the entire city as an Erev. That is, as we said, you have to leave over something. But he was learning it up as a Mechlal. You can infer from that terminology, the Iboile Ruvoi, that if you did want to make an Erev and to include even that leftover the part of the town in the Erev, then Motzi Ma'arvi. It's only that if you wanted to, you would be able to join them in the Erev. Whereas these people, you can't go ahead and make them into the Erev because they don't have an opening anyways into the rest of the city. So they cannot be included in that technicality of being left out because they can't be in to be left out because they have no opening anyway. To make this halacha of shir has to be that if you wanted, you could have. And that's what it says. That kula cannot be mu'ur if you have to leave out something. But they're not part of kula to be left out. So therefore he said, Eli avin lohu kavi. Let me make for them windows that have an area of 4x4 facing the city. Now diboyle ruvi derech halonis. Now if they would want to make an Erev, by virtue of the windows that open up into the city, then they would be able to make an Erev, because now they are open to the city. And now, once they're open, and they could, now I'll make them the leftover part of the city, that they will not join together. But now, since they could be included in the halach of shir. So Hadama, again, Abaya thought to himself and said, wait a second, loy bay. No, truth is, they don't need windows. He made an Erev for the entire city of Mechuzah, but not in one big area for the entire city, but rather arsiyasa, he made it each neighborhood had their own separate Erev, and not the whole entire city as one. And why is that? Mishum perid de beituri, because of the ditches that were there for the auction. As Rashi explains, and he also illustrates with a picture, that there were big ditches which they would install over there. They would put all the pits of the dates, which were the animal fodder, the food that they would eat, and they would have all these pits that would separate between one neighborhood and another from underneath by the ground. They would dig these ditches. This would separate each neighborhood. Now, in each neighborhood, there were many alleyways, many mavois that would open up into that neighborhood. So each neighborhood would have its own Erev, and each one was considered a shiur for the other one regarding this city. In other words, the whole entire city, they did not go ahead and make an Erev out of it. They made each neighborhood separately. Now the problem is, how can you make each complete neighborhood? The idea is that the other neighborhood was considered, because in a sense, each neighborhood was considered like its own city. So however, the idea is, each other neighborhood was considered the leftover, the shiur for the other neighborhood. As the Gemara explains, the chol chad v'chad have a shiur l'chavri. Every neighborhood was considered what you're leaving over from the city regards to the other neighborhood. Now, and this was Abaya thinking. He says, now, in spite of the fact that if all the neighborhoods wanted to go ahead and join together to make an Erev for the entire city, they wouldn't be able to go ahead and make an Erev together. And the reason is very simple, a logical reason, because of the fact that these ditches would separate each neighborhood. And therefore, they cannot go from one neighborhood to another. Rather, it'd be like a Gemara later on, an Ayin Chesem Abayis, when you have a charitz, a ditch, between two different courtyards. The Gemara over there says that you have to make two separate Erev, and you cannot make it one Erev to join together, because we view it logistically as separate areas. And therefore, here also, where each shchuna, they made a separate Erev, and yet in spite of the fact that you wouldn't be able to make an Erev together, because they're separated by the ditches, yet on halacha he considered it as each one being a shear, as a leftover for the other one, that making it not a problem to make for the entire neighborhood together. So therefore he says, obviously, I don't have to make it that they could make an Erev if they want to. Therefore, those houses facing the river, I don't need to make the windows for them, because although they cannot make the Erev if they want to, because they don't have any entryways, it doesn't make a difference. That's not a problem, like you see by Rabbi Barvua, that he made this Erev even though they couldn't, even if they wanted to. Hadami, then he thought back to himself and said, no, loy dami, it's not comparable. Maybe really I do need to make a window for these houses. Because hasam over there by Mechuzah, ibayi, if they wanted, they would be able to make an Erev together. How so? Although they were separated by these ditches, but le'iruvi der gagos, they could have made an Erev, they could have joined together through the roofs. that they had these balconies that went over from one roof of the one neighborhood to the roof of another neighborhood, like so to speak, like an overpass. Now, although, again, through the ground level, where there were ditches, that they would not be able to be joined, but since they could join through the roof, therefore over there, they were able to make it, each one consider a shear for the other one. But Vahani, but these houses of Kukayani, Loi Ma'arvi, there they cannot make an Erev even if they wanted to, because there is no way of connection from those homes to the rest of the city, because they have no openings. Hilkach Navdin Kavi, so therefore I have to make a window for them, that there should be a way that they could access it, so that therefore then I can go ahead now and make them shear once they would be able to if they wanted to. Hadam, and then finally he said no. Kavi Namalu Bai, truth is, I don't have to make windows for them. Dahu Beitivna, because as we had this incident of this house where the straw was stored, the Havali Lamar Bar Pupadisa Mipumpadisa, Vishavya Shir Lipumpadisa, and he considered that house of straw to be the leftover part of the city that was not included. As the Gemara later on says, that the halacha follows Reb Shimon that you do not need 50 dwellers to be considered a shear, not like the other opinion in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda that it has to be 50. It's enough, as we're going to see, Machlik is precisely what in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, but you need very little, and therefore he said that it's enough to have even these homes, anything that's just the most minute thing could be considered a shear, so I don't need it to have a window to be open that if I wanted it, I could have made an Erev, as we find that even he made this house a straw, whatever it was, it's in a way symbolic to be considered the leftover, and therefore for sure I can make these homes that open to the river, the leftovers, and I do not have to make a window. And finally he concluded, Amar Sabaya said, Hainu de Amali Mar, this is what the master had told me, Rav Yosef, Chazid de la Metzalchus, Allah be Medrasha, said, see, they don't scream about you in the Beis Medrash. He understood the depths of the questions that would go into it, and I almost made holes in the window to make windows in their homes, which would have been upsetting to them because they would have ruined part of the infrastructure. And ultimately, you see, it's not necessary to do that. They could be considered a shear even without making windows. Now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, again, which was speaking about this halacha of a irshal rabma, a city of the public, again, which has 600,000 people in there, that we said, you're not allowed to make an Erev for the entire city. Elim kein asa chutzlo kir chadosh, as the halacha that we were speaking about, unless if you make a leftover part of the city that's not included in the Erev, that outside of it, like the ear of what's called chadosh, there was a city called chadosh, that was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. There has to be that size of people left out. So time to learn the braisa that elaborates on this. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ir achas ha'isa Yehuda. There was one city in Judea, the Chadasha Shema, and its name was Chadasha. The Hayyaban Nun Diurim, and there were 50 dwellers in that city. Anoshim, benoshim, betaf. This included men, women, and children. Uba hay mesharim chacham, and that city was the prototype, the paradigm that the chacham used to signify what should be considered a leftover part that's enough." That's a minimum to be used as leftover of the city to say then the rest of the city could join the Erev. And v'hi ois ashir. And moreover, it itself was actually a case in point of being left over from a big city that was next to it. It itself was used in such a fashion. So Ibai Luhud asked the following question. Chadasha mahu. What's the halacha with the city Chadasha itself? Were they allowed to make an Erev to join that entire city by itself without leaving over anything? In other words, those 50 people, were they allowed to go ahead and now make a complete Erev for their own area? To which the Gemara says, Chadasha? Do you really mean to ask regarding that city of Chadasha? What do you mean? Ki hechadihi hav yashir legedula. Just like that was 50 people, that city of Chadasha was considered the leftover, the remnant, the part that was not included in the rest of that huge metropolis that it was next to. So gedula nami hav yashir legetana. So therefore, definitely on some level, the bigger city, which is not part of the area of Chadasha, is considered what's left over, not included in the city of Chadasha. So of course you can go ahead and make an area for the entire city of Chadasha. Rather, Ella, the Gemara says, "Ken Chadasha ma." What we mean to ask is, a city like Chadasha, in other words, a different small city that has only 50 dwellers and it's not near a big city, can you go ahead and make an area throughout the entire city or not? That the Gemara is machleik, is Rav Huna, Rabbi Huda. Chadam Abayishir, one says that it needs to have something left out of it because ultimately it is a city and you cannot make a city that's of a shall rabim to go ahead and make an area throughout the whole entire city. Mechadam Alay Bayishir, one says you don't need shir because it's only 50 dwellers, it's not considered a bona fide irshal rabim that would require to have anything left over from it. Then that was the opinion of Rabbi Huda that says you have to have 50 people, 50 diurim that are the minimum to be considered a shir from the irshal gedayla, and then you can make an area throughout the rest of the city. However, Reb Shimon said in our Mishnah, Gimel Chatzeis v'chulu, that if you have three courtyards with two homes opening into those courtyards, then that will be considered a shear enough to be considered a separate area left over from the city. So Amar Rav Chama Bar Kuya Amar Rav, Halach Reb Shimon, Halach Afaz Reb Shimon, that you do not need to have 50 dwellers. Reb Yitzchok argues and he says, Afila bayis echad v'chatzar echas. Even one home or even one courtyard. The Gemara says, Chatzar echas, sakatayt. Do you really think it would work with just one courtyard? In other words, a courtyard without a home is considered a dira, that this dira will be excluded from the rest of the city? It's just a chatzar. Ela'ema, rather, bayis echad v'chatzar echas. What we meant to say was, one courtyard, and in that courtyard was a home, that would be enough to be considered remnant. You don't have to have three courtyards with every courtyard having two homes open to it, which that is the classic prototype of what a city is. No, for this halach of shir, it's enough to have one courtyard and one house in that courtyard. So Amalei Abayla of Yosef, Abayis of Yosef, Hadir of Yitzchak, this halach of Yitzchak, that it's enough to be considered shir with one courtyard and one home in that courtyard. Gemara Isvar, was this a tradition he had, a Messiah that that's the halacha? Or is it just logic that he said, for this halacha of Shir, it's enough to have that? So Amalei Rav Yosef said to Abai, my nafkal, I mean, what's the difference to you? Who cares? That's the halacha. Who cares if it's a Messiah or it's a Svar? So Amalei Abai said to Rav Yosef, what do you mean? Gemara is Marta today. What do you think? It should be, okay, this is your tradition. I should just sing a song without understanding it. I have to understand. I want to know, was it a Messiah or was it a Svar? So now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, coming back now to the halachas of Erev Tchumen that we were speaking about before we stopped with the previous Mishnah and we went to a river Chatzeres. So the Mishnah says, Mishahoya b'mizuch, someone that was on the east, he was in the field, and it was becoming Shabbos, and he wasn't home yet. V'amal avnoi, and he says to his son, to make an Erev for him before it gets dark, says, Erev li b'mayrev, make for me an Erev towards the west. Now, because he was in the east and he wanted to get to the west, he says, make an Erev for me for the west. Or, b'mayrev, let's say he was in the west, v'am levnoi, Erev li b'mizrach, he said, make him for me Erev towards the east. So now the halach is as follows. Im yesh himenu levesal payim amam, if there is from where he is right now, when Shabbos is starting, to where his home is, he's within 2,000 amas. Ule ruva yoysimikan. But to where the Erev that his son made for him is more than 2,000 amas, that is, the Erev was placed past where his home is, then the halacha is mutilabe, so he's permitted to go to his home. In other words, to have his halachic status will be to where his home is, that will be his dir, his shvisa, as if there was no Erev made. But he would be forbidden to go to where his Erev is, in other words, to have the halachic status of Shvisa, where his Erev is, to say that, because that's where his Shvisa was placed from before Shabbos to his Erev. The reason is, because since when Shabbos started, he was more than 2,000 amos away from the Erev, so it comes out that he couldn't have gone there to go out and take it by that period of Bein HaShemashes. Therefore, his Erev is not kind of for him over there in that area. Rather, he has 2,000 amos in every direction where he is right now, and therefore, since it's not a good Erev, so we consider it as if his Shvisa is in his home, because when Shabbos started, he was within the tchum of his home, so we view it as if that's really where his Shvisa is, and not where the Erev was, because the Erev cannot be considered chal to start, because he wasn't even within that area when Shabbos started. Now, Rashi addresses the question that although we had said at the end of Mishnah Tzi'uhu, that if someone says, he's out in the field, and he says, let me be on the other side of the tree when it's about to become Shabbos, and we said that if his Shvisa is more than 2,000 amas from where he is right now, that we say not only that he doesn't get the Shvisa there, but he doesn't even get it where he is right now, and that he can't leave from his spot, this seems to contradict what we're saying now, that he's not stuck where he is right now. That's not where his Shvisa is. His Shvisa is where his home is, and he just doesn't get it where he wanted it to be. And that Rashi says that there's a difference. That case is talking about when he was on the road. And since where he wanted, he is not acquiring, because it's more than 2,000 amas away. And where he is right now, when Shabbos is starting, he also didn't prefer to have his Shvisa there. As he said, he wants it to be over there. So therefore, he doesn't have any Shvisa whatsoever, and therefore he can't move from his spot. He has just Dalet Amas. But when he's by near his home, and he's trying to make an Erev, in the place where the Erev is not going to work, and then we say he has his Shvisa in his home. Because we take it for granted, we assume that he would want to have a Shvisa where his home is in the case of when his Erev is not going to be an Erev. Whereas over there, where he's not near his home, and he doesn't want to be here, and it didn't work over there, then we say that he's stuck, but here it's a little bit different, because he's within the area of his home. That's the first halacha. Let's say, Li'iruvi al-Payim Amas, so the Mishnah continues and says, let's say to where his Erev is, he is within 2 amas. But Ulebesa Yesmikan, but his home is more than 2,000 amas away from where he is. Then Asul Lebesa, then he's forbidden to go to his home. In other words, to have the status of his Shvisa to where his home is, he cannot count 2,000 amas in every direction from his home. Umuti Leruve, but he would be permitted to his Erev. Again, it depends which one he's actually within 2,000 amas from when Shabbos is starting. If he's within 2,000 amas of his home, but his Erev is further, then we say that really his status is Shvisa in his home. If he's within 2,000 amas of his Erev, and his home is further, then we say that his Shvisa is where the Erev was, where he told his son to make it, and not by his home. Now the Mishnah continues, says, Hinoisen es eruve be'ibur shel Erev. Someone places an Erev in the area of the extension of the city. That is, in any one of the homes, although the city, let's say, would be like a square. And we had spoken about Ibur, that it's some things extend the city. Let's say you have a certain type of a structure. Let's say a building that's over a grave that's within 70 amas and a fraction from the city. That's considered Ibur shel Erev. That extends the city. So if someone puts his Erev in that Ibur, he didn't do anything. And the reason why is because even without the Erev, he would still have that area be considered part of the city. And the beginning of his 2,000 amas tchum didn't even start yet until after that, because the whole entire city is considered like dalet amas. So it's like you put your Erev in the city, which doesn't mean anything. It's you're still where you always were, because the whole city is like dalet amas. And therefore, it's like you didn't make an Erev tchum, and you stay with the status you had without making that Erev. However, nasni chutz l'tchum, but if you put your Erev out of the tchum, which Rashi says the Gemara will explain, that means to say not out of the tchum, because that wouldn't work as an Erev. It has to be within your tchum of 2,000 amas. And then we say that it's viewed as if that's your center, your locus, and you're at the one extreme, and then you can go another 2,000 amas that way. So it definitely doesn't work out of the tchum. It means to say out of the ibur of the ear, meaning once you get past where the city ends, and then your tchum begins, now you put it afila ama achas, even one ama within that tchum, in other words, past the Ibur ear, past the city limits, then we continue on to Amud Beis, then Masha Nisker, then this that he gains towards going in that direction, who Mavsid, he loses towards the other direction. Because what happens is, now he counts 2,000 Amas in every direction from where he placed the Erev. And therefore, if let's say he put the Erev 1,000 Amas in the direction of the east, so then it comes out that the end of his 2,000 amas in the east will be at the end of 3,000 amas from where the city was. Because again, if let's say this is where the city ends, and then you put in 1,000 amas further, the Erev, so then that's really where your tchum is. So now you can go another 2,000 amas, which is 3,000 amas from the city. So you gain 1,000, but now the 2,000 amas which you get towards the west ends by 1,000 amas to the west of the city. And therefore you're losing 1,000, because you're already counting the 1,000 from which is the by the east of the city, which is now being considered part of the west, because you're 1,000 amas, your relocation is 1,000 amas towards the east of the city, not where the city was. And the chiddush of the Mishnah that it's saying is that the city is not included in the cheshbon, in the total count of the 2,000 amas towards the west. Rather, we view the entire city as dalet amas, although that your Erev is now 1,000 amas towards the east. Now when you're going towards the west, you don't count the whole city as part of the 2,000 amas. Rather, that's included as dalet amas. And then you could continue going your other 1,000 amas towards the west, and you don't lose that area of the city as if that's part of the tchum. That's always going to be considered as dalet amas. So now the Gemara explains regarding the first case of a Mishnah, where we said that if let's say the person was in the east, and they made his Erev towards the west. So the Gemara wants to understand this case. Kasal Gedai, the Gemara assumes that lemizach, when it means that the person was to the east, it means lemizach beisei. Well, to the east of what? He was to the east of where his home is, and he told his son, do me a favor, make an Erev towards the west of my home. Therefore, it comes out that his house is standing, is in the location between where he is and where his Erev is. And lemayrev, when he says that he was towards the west, it means lemayrev beisei, he was towards the west of his home. And he was saying, when he says make an Erev to the east, meant to say towards the east, meaning past where his home was, that he could go even further. So David the Gemara discusses as follows. We understand the first case that the Mishnah discusses, where from where he is right now when Shabbos is starting, he was stuck out in the field and it's not, and it's coming Shabbos, so he's within 2,000 amas of his home, but that his Erev is more than 2,000 amas away. So we understand that he could reach his home. That is because he could have came to his home even without the Erev, but he can't reach his Erev because, as we said, because the Erev is going to be past the home, so that makes sense that it could be that the home is within 2,000 amas, but the Erev is past that. However, but how do we understand the next case the Mishnah speaks about, where we say that from where he is to his Erev, he's within 2,000 amas, Ulebeisa yesu mikan. But his home is going to be more than 2,000 amos. And therefore, then the Mishnah said that, yes, your shvisa would be considered where the Eruv is and not where the home is. Hech mishkachasla. How can you understand such a case? How can you say that mimenu ule ruve alpayim ule beiser yosemik? How can you say that from where he is to his Eruv is 2,000, his home is more than that? But it doesn't make sense. You have to say the Eruv is going to be further than where the house is, because that is how we understand the logistics of the case. It means that he was to the west of what? West of his home. Now, he's saying to say that he wants to make an Eruv to the other direction, again, either it's east or west, depending on which case it is, so then it must be that he wants to go past that. If he wants to go past that, how could the Eruv be closer than the home? Tirsig Mar gives two answers. Amr Bitzchak. Mi savrit lemizrach, do you really think, as we had assumed, that when we said that he was to the east, it means lemizrach beisa, he was to the east of his home, and lemayrav, that it means lemayrav beisa, he was to the west of his home, and therefore, when he wants to make an Eruv in the other direction, it means past where his home is, because if it's going to be closer than his home, that doesn't make sense. He's within the tchum of his home anyway. Rather, lai lemizrach, when we said that he was to the east, it means lemizrach benoi, he was to the east of his son. And lemayrav, when he was to the west, it means lemayrav benoi, to the west of his son. And therefore, he was further away than the son. So therefore, he told his son, make the air for him because he was closer. And therefore, it has nothing to do with the whole question that we were asking. Nothing to do with where his home is, where his air is. Totally unrelated. The air could be closer. The home could be closer. It means in relation to where his son is, that he was to the east or the west of his son. And therefore, again, he could be anywhere, geographically speaking, in regards to his air and his home. And therefore, it's not a difficulty whatsoever. Another Teresa Gemara gives, Rava Bar of Shila Amar, says, no, afilotema lemizrach, you could say, as we had assumed, when it says that he's to the east, it means lemizrach beis, he was to the east of his home. Ulamayrav, when he was to the west, it means lemayrav beis, to the west of his home. But then the difficulty is, what does that mean? Obviously, if you're within the area of your home, then you want to make an Eruv. How could it be the Eruv is going to be out of that area? Because you want to make it past where the home is, in the other direction. Now, so how could you ever have the case of the Eruv being closer than the home? On that he says, kigun dekoi beisei balachsayin. You could have it in such a case where his home is on a diagonal from where he is. As the Rashi is showing the picture, that is, the home is diagonal from where he is between him and his Eruv. And therefore, that's going to be slanted towards, in other words, if you're looking towards the west, then what you could have is, yes, the Eruv is going to be more towards the west. Let's say he's on the east, and he wants to go to the west, his home is towards the west, and his Eruv, you're right, is further west than where his home is. However, you could have that because of the angle of the diagonal of where his home is, that it technically could be that his home is further than 2,000 amas from where his Eruv is, and it could be further than where the Eruv is from where he is right now. So therefore, although, yes, it's closer east from where the Eruv is, and therefore he wanted to make an Eruv to make it help him go further towards west, however, towards the other direction, again, either if it depending on which way, a north or south, if it's going to be on that diagonal, then that could be more than 2,000 amas, whereas the Eruv will be within 2,000 amas, and that's how we could understand the case. Although, again, yes, in relation to one direction, the Eruv is always going to be further that direction, but since the home is further in one other direction, which could be more than 2,000 amas, and the Eruv will be less than 2,000 amas, that's how we understand the case, that the Eruv will be within his tchum, and the home will not be. Then the Mishnah said, "Hanoisne ruvi b'tich ibura v'chulu." That if someone puts his Eruv within the extension of the city, it's as if he didn't do anything. And that's because, as we said, because the ibura is considered within the actual city limits, and therefore it's considered like one big dalat amas, and therefore you didn't really do anything. But we said if it's out of the tchum, then whatever you gain, you lose in the other direction. So the Gemara asks, "Chutz l'tchum sol k'taytich?" Do you really think that you put the Eruv out of the tchum, and then that's not an Eruv whatsoever? You have to be within the tchum of your Eruv when Shabbos starts. If it's out of the tchum, so then how's that going to work? What it means to say is the same terminology means to say, but if you put it out of the extension of the city, out of that 70 and 2 amas and fraction amas where that building is, whatever it is that extends the city, then you're going to be doing it in the ear of the tchum, then it is a good area, but then whatever you gain over there, you lose in the other direction. As the Gemara quotes that the Mishnah said, Mashinisku mafsid, whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction. That the Gemara asks, Mashaniska Vesulai, so the inference is, as we had already explained in the Mishnah, that only what you gain, that's what you lose. So if let's say you put it one amma out of the tchum, so then you can go 2,001 amas out of the city, because your location is really one amma further, and you only lose one amma the other direction, you can go 1,909 amas the other way. So that the Gemara says, is that really true? But the Tanya learned the Braisa, Hanois Nesiru Bibetechi Burishal Ir. If someone puts his air within the extension of the city, then as we said in our mission, also Likum, you didn't do anything because you just kept it in within the four amas that it always was. But if you put it outside of the extension of the city, afila ama achas, even one ama, mistaker ois ama, so you gain that ama to the direction of where you put the eruv, umafsid es kol ha'ir kula, but then you lose the entire city in the opposite direction, because the measurement of the city is included in the measurement of the tchum. And that is when you're measuring 2,000 amas, from that side of the city where you made the Erev towards the other direction, you are now calculating every part of the city that you're walking in the 2,000 Amas, because you're not a resident of this city anymore for Shabbos. You're a resident of a city, of a Shvisa that's an Ama out of the city. And therefore, since that's your Shvisa, now when you start counting coming towards the city, every part of the city is counted for the Tchum. That seems to be not like we said in our Mishnah. We said that only what you gain is that what you lose. You don't lose the city, because before the city, you had 2,000 Amas in that other direction from where the city ended. And therefore, if you went one Amma out, it sounds like from our Mishnah, that you only lose one Amma that you had from before, which would give you only 1999 from this city, but not that you would lose the entire city. And yet, here we have a brace that says that you lose the entire city, whatever, however much of the city that is, will be taken up from the Tchum. So, on that, the Gemara says, Loi Kasha. Kan shekolsi midasi b'chatzi'ir. Here, what we're talking about is where the measurement of the 2,000 Amas, let's say you made an Amma out of the city and you're going in the other direction now through the city, is if the measurement of the 2,000 Amas ends in the middle of the city. And therefore, let's say if it was a big city, or let's say you made your air very far from the city, until the entire city will not be included, in other words, your 2,000 Amas will end, will expire before you get out of the city, then we will include the entire city from the Cheshbon, and then as the Braisa said, then you're going to lose actually more than what you gain, because you're going to be losing the entire city. Khan, our mission was talking about Shakosa Midasa Bisayfir, that the measurement of the 2,000 Amas, even if you're going and counting the entire 2,000 Amas going through the city, but it would finish after the city, then we would include the whole entire city, not as part of the Chum, but rather like Dalad Amas. Okay, Rabbi Idi, as the Gemara says, like Rabbi Idi had quoted, Dam Rabbi Idi, Am Rabbi Shuman Levi, Hayimaydid Uba, if someone was measuring and it was coming. Let's say if someone spent Shabbos out of a city, and he didn't know that there's a city right next to him. He's on the road, it's Shabbos, okay, he goes to sleep, wakes up in the morning, and he realizes, wait a second, he sees something in the distance, it's within the tchum of where he is. So we learned in Perek Mishra Tziu on Daf Mem Hei Amar Aleph, that since his intention was not that to have his Shvisa in the city from before Shabbos, because he didn't even know it was there, so then he's allowed to go into the city only as much as his 2,000 Amos takes him. And therefore, how does he know? He counts 2,000 regular-sized feet, footsteps, and wherever the measurement stops, no matter where in the city, that's where his tchum stops. And therefore, the same thing would apply. If, let's say, someone puts his Erev out of the city, and he acquires Shvisa out of the city, so then he would be able to count 2,000 amas from there, and it would end wherever it is. And therefore, he says, and let's say the measurement stops in the middle of the city, you only have half the city. But if, let's say, the measurement ends at the end of the city, in other words, even if, let's say, you're counting throughout the city, 1,000, 1,001, 1,002, and you would finish the city before you get to 2,000, then nasus lo he'ir kula kedalad amas. Then we view the entire city as not part of the tchum, rather as an area of dalad amas, and you would be, so to speak, replenished with what you were counting in the city. We would not take that off from the tchum; it would be considered as dalad amas. Umashlim es hashan. Then you could complete the rest of your 2,000 amas when you get past the city and continue in that direction. And therefore, this was the same idea that we see that again, depending if your tchum of 2,000 amas will end within the city, then we do count it, and you're losing the city. If it would get you past that within 2,000 amas, then we don't count it as that. We count it as just dalad amas, as it always was, and therefore that's the case of our Mishnah, that you don't lose that. But on this halacha that Rabbi Idi quoted in the name of Shuma Levi, Am Rabbi Idi, Ein Elu Ela Divrei Neviyos. You should know something, that these words of my Rebbe are really words of like prophets. In other words, as if he's saying a prophecy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he doesn't give a good logical explanation for what he's saying. In other words, Rabbi Shuma Levi, his Rebbe, had said it. Now, if he had not heard this and accepted it from his Rebbe, he wouldn't have said such a thing without a logical reason. And because Mali Kalsa B'chatzair, what should be the difference if the measurement of 2,000 amos ends in the middle of the city, Malikos B'Sefer, what's the difference if it ends at the end of the city? Why if it's within 2,000 amos, should we say that, okay, now it's not counted, and we count it as 4 amos, and as if the city's not there, and you can continue going 2,000 amos in another direction. But if you end in the middle, oh, then we will count it. Why? What's the difference? That was a difficulty he had. So although he said the Psak Halacha like that, because it was Mekabel from his Rebbe, and that's why we could use that to resolve our contradiction of the Braisa and the Mishnah, that our Mishnah that says you don't count it, in other words, you only lose what you gain, and therefore you don't lose the city which you always had before, like Dalet Amos, that's Toman in the case where if you span the 2,000 Amos, it would go past the city, whereas the Braisa says you lose that, is Toman that it would end in the middle, but however, he had this difficulty. And this Amar Rava, Rava asked, on what he was saying, he says, what's this great prophecy that you're saying in the name of your Rebbe? Tavai Taninu, both of them are learned an explicit Mishnah on the Mishnah on the coming Mishnah on the coming Daf. It says over there that Anshi Ir Gedayla, regarding the people of a large city, and that is that they wanted to go in the direction of a small city that was within their 2,000 amos of their tchum, and they were heading out on Shabbos to go through that small city to continue to go 2,000 amos. In other words, to go where their tchum allowed them. On that, the Mishnah says Mahalchen is Kol Ir Katana. They could go the entire small city, which was near the big city. Now, obviously, what Rav is telling us is, it has to be, the Chiddush of the Mishnah has to be telling us that, of course, you could walk through the entire small city, because if it's, what's the Chiddush? If it's within 2,000 Amos, of course, you could walk there. It must be saying that you could walk in and consider it like it's Dalet Amos, and then we could complete the 2,000 Amos when we go past that small city, because again, if it's just telling you that you can go 2,000 Amos, of course, we know that. What does that have to do with a small city? Obviously, if it says you can go throughout the entire small city, means, and not even to count that as part of the 2,000 Amos, rather as Dalet Amos. We're continuing on top of Samach Alf and Alf. However, the Ein Anshe Ir Katana, Mahalchen is Kol Ir Gedol. However, the people of the small city, they cannot go the entire big city. In other words, that they cannot consider it like Dalet Amos, because their city will be the big city will be considered as part of the Tchum when the small city is going through the big city. Now Rav explains, my time, what's the reason? Why, when the big city is going past the small city, we don't count that as part of the Tchum, and we count it as Dalet Amos, but why when the small city, when they're going towards the big city, then we do count the big city as part of the Tchum, and it will be counted as part of the 2,000 Amos? On that, Rav says the logical conclusion is, my time, Allah Mishum Dahani Kolsum Idasum Chatzir, because by that, when the small city is going to the big city, their 2,000 Amos will expire within the city. And therefore we consider it as part of the Tchum. Vahani, but the big city, Kolsim Idasim is Seifir. Their 2,000 Amos will end past the small city, because it's a small city. And therefore, that is as we had said before, like your Rebbe Reb Shuman Levi had said. So what does it mean it's a prophecy? It's a clear-cut mission that says this halacha, that what's the difference between the big city and the small city? Must be, because the big city going past the small city will make it past there. Therefore, it's going to be considered like Dalet Amos, like our Mishnah had said. Whereas when the small city is going past the big city, why we will consider that as part of the Tchum is because it's not going to make it past the big city. It's going to end somewhere in the middle. And therefore, that's like the Braisa had said, that it's going to be considered as part of the Tchum, and therefore it's not words of Nevi'is, rather it's a clear-cut Mishnah on the coming Daf.